Mike Bailey, a pioneer of the Gulf Coast wine scene and award-winning food entrepreneur.
I know a lot of you wonder what to do with your moon pies. Well, I've got some wine suggestions for you. Lemon moon pies, Sauvignon Blanc, Chenin Blanc, or Pinot Grigio.
Stuart Reb Donald, acclaimed food and travel writer and world-class chef.
I was the chef de casserole. I made the casseroles in the frozen food department.
For more than a decade, they've combined their expertise to answer your questions and introduce you to the culinary movers and shakers you want or ought to know. Four-time Taste Award finalists, 13-time Nappy Award losers. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Drop, keep a screaming for more.
Dragon Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Wise boy, ody, dragon wine. Wise boy, ody, dragon wine.
Yeah, good morning. Welcome to a beautiful, it's going to be a beautiful Sunday morning out there, and a beautiful morning for the Sip and Chew Show with Mike and Stu, and welcome for, glad you're listening in today, and
to our premiere episode of the 2026 year.
That's right, right.
So, Mike had gout of the eyeball last week.
Yeah, I had an eye infection. I just could not see myself coming in last week.
Yeah, couldn't see anything.
So I couldn't see anything out of my left eye. But I tell you, people don't realize, and all my life I've had a problem with getting trash or eyelashes or whatever stuck in my eye and, and just irritate the heck out of me. But I had some trash blow up in my eye last week or so, about 10 days ago, and it got infected. And I had
that's what you get for hanging out with trash.
Well, it was in downtown Foley.
Well.
And those big all vehicles.
Snowbird going, trash.
Going down 59 could just blow some trash up when you're.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to park somewhere else and not park there on 59. They got a lot of parking there on 59.
Just keep your sunglasses in front of on.
Well, I did have them on. It just blew up under them.
Get you some safety goggles.
There you go.
Right there. Look like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
There you go.
Or J.D. Blair,
Lambert's,
the drummer.
That's what you were doing?
Huh?
Were you doing in Foley? Going to Lambert's?
No, going to one of my counts.
Lord, no.
And there's one of my counts, and there's a lot of parking on 59 there in downtown that you can just pull right up to the front door, and there's a lot of parking, really, in front of the park. And I always get a great parking spot right in front of my customer, and as I was getting out, a tractor-trailer rig passed by, several of them in cars. Not to blame it on the tractor-trailer rig, just throws a lot of dust and stuff up in there, and so it threw something up in my eye, and then it turned into infection.
Perhaps the city
bacterial
of Foley,
infection.
Perhaps the city of Foley should
sweep the streets.
Contract some street sweepers. Sims does. They have the city of Mobile come out and street sweep the streets.
I don't know. With as much traffic as they get over there, I don't think it helped.
At 2 o'clock in the morning?
Well, I mean, this was at 4 in the afternoon, 3 or 4 in the afternoon.
Yeah. No, I'm saying you send the street sweepers out in the middle of the night.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
But still, there'd be more trash out there in no time.
Yeah.
And
well, it's not like anything's open down there past 9 o'clock except during the summer. I remember I went to a SEC, some kind of SEC event in Gulf Shores. Nothing in Gulf Shores or Orange Beach was open past 9 o'clock because it wasn't tourist season.
How many decades ago was that?
This, since we've been doing this show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because this,
I came in the next day and said, hey, you're never going to grow past what you are as long as everything in town closes at 9 o'clock.
Well, there are places that I've been there. They're out,
they got them now.
They're out past,
there was,
you know, 1 o'clock.
There was one bar that was open. So naturally it was packed.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Piggly Wiggly and got something I could microwave, went back to the hotel room.
Yeah. But, anyway, that's, when I got in the wine business almost 40 years ago, they would roll the streets up in Gulf Shores, and especially after Shrimp Festival, it seemed like. They were like rolling streets up, taking the signal lights down, and now it's hard to call. There's so many restaurants and bars down there, it's hard to call on all of them.
Yeah.
And to see all of them, you need a couple salespeople down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I see food trucks all the time just rolling and rolling down there everywhere. And I remember there was probably only 8 to 11 bars and restaurants total down there at one time. And now there's that many on one street, you know, one block.
And as long as they're
things
open,
have changed.
You know, a few open past 9 o'clock, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. But there are, Well, I mean, like like the what's that one that's been down there forever, known for their hamburgers. It's shaped like a barrel.
No clue.
Anyway, it sounds
like a place you'd call the Keg, though.
The Keg, yeah. I don't know
what the name is, but that'd be a good
Keg.
Name. Okay.
It's called the Keg. And 24 hours for the longest time. And known for their hamburgers. Known for their hamburgers. But there's so many other places down there now. Now, probably food. No, you're not going to get a lot of food after a certain time. But, you know, you'll get a drink just about everywhere.
Yeah, well, I didn't want a bar. Drink. I wanted to eat. Mm-hmm. I wanted to eat because I was hungry. Because
mm-hmm.
you need food to survive. You don't well, need had, a drink well, to survive.
They had a Waffle House back then.
Yeah, I was hoping to try something local.
Yeah.
You know, something that, you know, there were McDonald's and Sonic's open.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I didn't want that.
Yeah.
I didn't drive to Gulf Shores to eat McDonald's.
Yeah.
A lot of people do, though. Drive clear across the country, get to a place known for great seafood, and they get nuggets, chicken nuggets at every meal.
I love those posts on Facebook. Somebody says, we're coming to the ocean, and
really?
Where's a good place for seafood? You can fall in someone's parking lot and get good seafood down there.
What you need to do is ask people, which are the fake seafood places?
There's that.
Because there are a number of them just that don't sure serve a bit of Gulf seafood.
If you're in the sound of our voice or our signal, and you're going to anywhere along the Gulf Coast, whether it be the Florida, Louisiana,
Mississippi,
call ahead of time. If somebody does make recommendations for you, call that restaurant and see if they use shrimp and seafood out of the Gulf.
Yeah, from America.
From the Wild Gulf, America. Our Gulf,
yeah.
And not...
Well, we don't have salmon in the Gulf.
Right.
So if they have salmon, did you get it farm-raised from Chile, which is, you know, one of the worst, most carcinogenic foods on the planet, or did you get it wild-caught from Alaska, where mm-hmm. it's one of the healthiest foods on the
right.
planet? Where it comes from is important.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a 180 between the worst thing you can eat and one of the best things you can eat based mm-hmm. off of where it comes from.
Yeah. But, and I do not understand a seafood restaurant anywhere in the South that doesn't carry real catfish.
Right. I mean, if you want an inexpensive fish on your menu, mm-hmm. catfish.
But wait,
not shway, catfish.
But you're saying Gulf, but you're talking a river fish.
Well, I'm saying just...
It's all connected, man.
Where does that river end up? I get that, but I mean, there's still different environments.
Local. Yeah, but local.
You don't want to eat.
There's a different environment in the mm-hmm. Gulf as opposed to in a river.
You don't want to eat a saltwater catfish.
Well, no.
Oh, they're fine. They just, the texture's mushy.
Yeah. Whitewater, you know, out of the river, out of a catfish farm out of Mississippi or so.
I'm just saying.
Crawfish is native to the Gulf Coast, but they don't
when you make a distinction between the Gulf and a river.
Yeah. Exactly.
Catfish, that's why they.
And I tell people all the time, I say, well, that's not seafood. Yeah. But if you're going to carry catfish, yeah. if you're going to carry fish, either it needs to be snapper
or grouper. Whatever comes out of
red
the
redfish
or grouper. Catfish.
Or catfish, not sway. Not because sway.
Okay, yeah.
If not you tilapia. Are a seafood restaurant, if you are a seafood restaurant. Now, I understand places that sell other types of food, a variety like pizza and whatever, mm-hmm. and they have fish on their fried fish on their menu. Okay, if you want to carry sway, that's great. But... Do not, if you're a seafood restaurant, do not
put half shway.
Or
tilapia. By the way, neither shway nor tilapia are saltwater fish. They're freshwater fish. They're mm-hmm. river fish. Yeah. Just like catfish.
That's what I understood him to say.
Yeah.
Like, to me, mm-hmm. what Mike was saying was, mm-hmm. you know, if you're going to have a Gulf restaurant here, offer Gulf food, well, why aren't you having catfish?
Yeah.
I'm going, what? That was what I heard.
Well, Gulf is related to the South, and South is...
Also, catfish is universal. A lot of people will look at a menu and go, oh, I don't know if I like red snapper or grouper. Well, if you like fish, you like red snapper and grouper. But a lot of people don't know. Yeah.
Is that like saying it's all like chicken?
All white flesh fish tastes fairly similar.
Yeah.
The only thing that's different is the oil content, like cobia. Doesn't have enough oil in it for you to fry it. It gets really dry.
But it's terrific. What causes the grill. Fishy taste?
The Gulf?
It being old.
It's salt water.
251-343-0104. When we come back, is that the right number or 106?
Oh, 106.
Yeah, y'all just hit us up on email. We gonna drink beer when we come back.
Drinking lots of carrot juice and soaking up a race, but at night I'd have these wonderful dreams. Some kind of sensuous treat, not zucchini fettuccine.
For more than a decade, they are the dynamic duo of dining. Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, as many people do at the beginning of the new year, lots of people, they're going to change their life by not eating or they're going to exercise. Some people avoid alcohol.
Who?
I don't know. but it has really given birth to a dearth of non-alcoholic beers and wines.
Mm-hmm.
And you have shared with them. One of the things that happens with alcohol consumption as you get older, especially people that drink excessively, is that you, every time you drink more than one or two beers or drinks in a night, you're severely damaging your pancreas because it has to process all of that alcohol. And it produces a juice, the pancreas does, that helps us digest. Alcohol turns that juice into a goo. And then when we get older, over 50, over 60, the pancreas starts getting to where it can't process it anymore. And that goo now turns into a paste. And a lot of people will experience a lot of discomfort from it. That's your pancreas screaming. If you drink a couple of beers and it hurts, you need to ease off. Your pancreas is on the verge of kicking the bucket. So you need to ease off of it. So the non-alcoholic brews and wines are a good way for people to still get the enjoyment they like. You've experimented a great deal with them.
Last year I did a lot of experimenting with NA beverages. I tried some NA wines from California.
Yeah.
Just didn't. They were just juice. They were just juice.
Yeah.
Didn't have a real wine taste to them.
But beer, they've had more success.
Oh my God, the beer is phenomenal. What they've done.
O'Doul's has been decent, and that's been around.
That's been around forever. That's like a kickoff of Killian's from Guinness.
Yeah.
And I guess Guinness decided, hey, we need to.
Well, Killian's was an Irish red. It wasn't.
I know, but they did an NA. They took like a NA. They took like the Bass Ale recipe, and because it was same color, same taste, and they gave it Irish name because Guinness was. It was owned by an Irish company, Guinness. Right. Which Guinness.
I always
a lot
loved Killian's Irish Red.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that was good.
That's a domestic, actually.
Yeah, right.
And,
but in an Irish style, just like the old Michael Shea's beer that we used to be able to get here, was delicious, done in an Irish style. But
it's a good thing about a lot of those breweries up in upstate New York. They did a lot of that Irish style, brewing up there.
And we're going to try an Irish style today. Guinness makes a stout that is zero alcohol.
And I love stout.
Yeah, Guinness zero. I love stout too. So we're going to crack one open today.
And you know, it was Fairhope Brewing Company that got me started drinking Guinness because I loved their stout. And then I just kind of grew from there. And I used to sell Guinness stout, and I didn't like the taste of it.
That's because they send the bad batches to America. My brother was at the Dublin brewery in Ireland, and he tasting goes, this is so much better. And they said, it's because we send the bad stuff to America. And I had watched a show recently where a guy said, I've always heard that Guinness from Ireland tastes different than the Guinness in America.
Mm-hmm.
He said, so I was in UK recently, got a Guinness over there, and brought it back here. And they're right next to each other. He cracks them open. The one from Ireland has such a beautiful head on the top of it. And he goes, they taste like two totally different beers.
Well, even the can, when you get the canned Guinness, and when they pour it on tap at the bars.
And it depends on which can you get.
And they pour a beautiful Guinness at Callahan's, believe it or not.
Right.
You watch it cascade. It just looks like a waterfall in the glass.
Yeah.
And
this one's supposed to do it too, so watch it.
Yeah.
That's caused from the nitrogen.
Nitrogen in it.
Yeah.
But a lot of Guinness now is made in Jamaica. because they own Red Stripe, and they make a Red Stripe had a beer, and they probably still do, called Dragon Stout.
Mm-hmm.
So Guinness said, we can get them to start making our beer there. So they just bought the place,
right.
And now they make Guinness in Jamaica for American consumption.
If you want to see this, you can watch
Facebook. And I don't mean United States consumption. I mean like America, Central America, South America, all that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Steve. What was that?
I was just saying, as he's pouring, if you want to check out the head, as it were, you can go to Facebook.com to see Sip and Chew.
Or YouTube.
Watch it live on YouTube. Yeah.
This is mine.
Yeah, right. I'm hitting that one.
So I love the color.
Yeah. The color looks right. It's a good head on top. What's your aroma like? You want to push that over so Steve can take us? Yeah, Phil, you can come get yours.
Come on, Phil. The bar's open.
Yeah. For me?
Yep. Everybody just saw Phil enter the room.
Oh, hey, everybody, what's up?
And, aroma there, sir? This is all this tasting stuff is about you. That's what you do. And he's going to be out of commission here because he's very...
I smell all the hops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the hops, barley are there.
Now, a lot of people don't know, a lot of people drink this at room temperature. They drink Guinness at room temperature.
Yeah.
And it has a strong caffeine.
Yeah. Doesn't have the carbonation to it on it.
Yeah, it does seem to have a carbonation.
Yeah. Guinness should be served at 50 degrees.
Yeah.
That is the optimum temperature for stouts.
But when Patty O'Toole's was across the street, the sisters and the fathers would come there, and they have to keep it at room temperature for them.
Right.
And they'd keep bottles behind the bar for them, and they would sit there and drink it at room temperature. And it has a strong coffee taste.
That's good to say.
Yeah. Stouts are known for their coffee notes and their dark chocolate notes.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't check the dark chocolate, but I did check
the one leans more to the coffee.
Yeah. When I started drinking Mocha. Fairhope.
Well, no, not Mocha.
No, Mocha is chocolate and coffee mix. Yeah.
When I started drinking Fairhope Brewery's
Judge
Roy Bean.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. And it really got me started on stouts. And like I said, I tried to drink it when I was selling Guinness. Did not like it. Now I drink Guinness when I go out.
Yeah, I've loved Guinness since I was a teenager. My dad discovered it at Riverview Plaza. Had it down in the shop in the bottom. My parents were staying there for their anniversary. So I came down, did dinner with them. My dad and I cracked into that. And he goes, just keep the other bed.
What is the difference between draft and drought? Or is
it's the same word.
Okay.
Yeah, that is spelled drought. It's pronounced draft.
Ah,
you're dealing with some, probably a little bit of actual Saxon, Anglo-Saxon language, and Gaelic influences on that.
In England,
where vowels have totally different
uses. In England, they don't pour your draft. They pull your draft.
Yeah, because you pull the handle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and. A lot of theirs are served at all their stouts and beers are served at room temperature.
They don't drink a lot of stout in England. They're scared of it. Seriously.
Why?
It's too strong a flavor for them.
But they drink plenty in Ireland, I'm sure.
You're familiar with the black and tan?
Mm-hmm.
That is what the English soldiers, when they came and occupied Ireland, that's what they would have to do to be able to drink the local beer.
Mm-hmm.
They would mix it half and half with a lighter beer because the stout was overpowering.
And that's where they use a spoon so the stout will lay on top of the harp, usually on top of it, just to keep it separated.
Yeah, a harp is I think it's a lager that Guinness makes. But it may be a pilsner. It's in that style.
I forget. I used to sell it I forget what it was.
And it's a good beer. Harp is a good beer. A very good beer.
Newcastle's probably my favorite European beer.
That's a English beer, I do believe, isn't it? Or is it? I think that's English. And it's a darker, but not really a stout.
It's an amber.
More like a Modelo Negro.
It's red. It's got a dark Mexican red color similar to the Killian, the ones you were talking about.
Yeah, the red ales.
Yeah, and it was so creamy. But, man, as I get older, these beers are just, they get to me.
This
not
is
alcohol
a little thin,
wise, but it does,
right.
Biologically, it just gets to my innards.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you're talking about, your pancreas is taxed. And especially if you're borderline diabetic, means your pancreas is already
A lot of people, too, with their kidneys and their liver, they get alcohol nephropathy. And When I've had it.
Is that the one with the shot of caramel and then they put some chocolate shavings on it at Starbucks?
When I've had issues with it, it's my legs tingle like from my knees down. And it's just irritating all night long in bed and you can't sleep.
Like it, like the irritable leg thingy. Yeah, whatever.
And I found that hard liquors do that more. So when I do wine, it doesn't bother me. And I just watch my intake now. I just slow down a lot. Wow.
Taste-wise, we only got a few seconds left. Mm-hmm. We got to get to Danny in the next segment. How are you with the flavor of this?
I'm okay with the flavor, and I think the alcohol gives it some of its flavor, too.
Yeah, well, naturally. It doesn't feel as thick or creamy
as it normally does. You're right about
There's not as much carbonation, but it's still good.
Mm-hmm.
And this is honestly closer to what beer was like 100 years ago before we forced carbonation.
I still got tons of calories in it.
Yeah, and plenty of flavor, though. All I was concerned with is the non-alcoholic part. I mean, there are, and maybe you can find one, a non-alcoholic light beer.
It's not as stout.
Right. It's not as stout as a stout.
Well, folks, you can give us a call after Danny at 251-343-0106.
That's the number.
Warm rolling sea and all my dreams. Somewhere I'd lost them. Mobile Bay, Magnolia Leaves.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Steve, we didn't get your words on what you thought of the Guinness Stout Zero.
Well, the coffee tastes smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Non-alcoholic, I'm a non-drinker now. 22 years, 21 years. So, I had the O'Doul's. I like this better than the O'Doul's.
Yeah.
Much better. It's a smoother, it's not sharp.
I'll try it. We'll try one a week or maybe a couple of weeks.
That's the plan. The next couple of weeks, just try some.
Try some domestic.
Mike says that Budweiser makes a really good non-alcoholic.
They really do.
I remember doing, there was a, the Black and Tan years ago, went to New Orleans. Man, I loved the mix of that. I don't know what, at that time,
Yeah. Although I realize that it is considered an insult to an Irishman to do a Black and Tan, they are good.
Well, it's an insult to send us the second best beer, too, but there you go.
Is Danny online with
us? Danny Calametti.
Speaking of insults.
Hey, Danny. I am there. I am online. What's this non-alcoholic y'all talking about? I haven't figured that one out. I will tell you that at our friendly Sons of St. Patrick meeting, we've been known to have a cold harp as well as that other beer you guys were talking about, that Guinness. We've had a couple of cold ones.
Yeah.
And maybe a Jameson as well, but that's not really a beer. But anyway.
Jameson.
That Jameson Black Barrel is some good stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, how you guys doing? Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you too.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, well, mine has started out ripping and roaring, guys. We had some stuff going on. So,
We got trouble brewing?
It depends on if you like to compete in food competitions. The first one up is the 14th annual Tailgate Chef's Challenge down at Orange Beach. So Joe Coe has been doing this for a number of years, and we've had the pleasure of working with him on the judging. And it's a chef's challenge. He's got the cool thing. It's for a World Food Championship ticket, but it's limited to only 14 teams. So these competitors, easily half the competitors are previous golden ticket winners, and the other half are wannabe golden ticket winners. So the competition is really, really sharp. And so they'll turn in something that simulates, a tailgate food, something that has to be cooked outside. We've got a full boat there, but then they also have samplings for the public. And Joe's really, he's focused, what he does is, it's a fundraiser for a specific individual that's dealing with cancer. Mm-hmm. So this particular event is going to benefit a lady that's got stage 4 breast cancer. So she's dealing with all the health issues and medical bills and all that kind of stuff. So it's for a good cause. As I said, the teams are full. But it's open to the public. There's music, and it's a $20 ticket to get in and get your samples. And there's a ton of door prizes going to be raffled off. There's going to be some blind auction items, silent auction items. And it's just going to be a lot of fun. It starts at noon at... That too. And the Undertow is over on Canal Road at Orange Beach. So if you're over that way, or if you want to drive over for the day, weather's supposed to be good. Last year we were dealing with freezing temperatures and rain. But this year we're in good shape as far as that goes. So it's a great, great time, lots of fun. The Undertow is a pretty cool little joint over there. And like I say, music. And it's just a great time. And they've been doing it for a number of years. So that's on the plate. The other thing I've mentioned before, but we're officially kicking it off, and it's going to be a fun event. We're working with the Panini Senior Bowl, and this other guy named Panini Pete.
Yeah, familiar with it.
Yeah, so we're
he's a household name,
especially in his house.
He's something. Yeah, he is something. So we're doing a Panini Senior Bowl Cook-Off Challenge, and it'll be downtown Mobile. Dauphin Street at Bienville Square on Tuesday the 27th. So it'll be 6 to 8 o'clock. It'll be free admission to the public, but we need teams to compete. We only got 20 slots available. You get a nice prize package, including VIP tickets to the Senior Bowl. Winner's going to get announced on stage. The winner gets a championship belt. It's going to be one of those cool WFC
if you pay for it,
belts.
Mike, I'll do it. I'll win you that belt, Mike.
So yeah, and so it's a Panini sandwich. The best. We're going to have some celebrity judges in there working on it. We're going to have celebrity judges, but they're going to be they'll judge it rightly. It won't be a popularity contest. So we'll work on the criteria
judging.
For the judges.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll work on that part of it. But and from the public tasting side of it. It's 150, 200 samples, so it's quarter Panini, it's not a big ass. We're working with our friends over at Greer's. They're going to actually provide us with some gift certificates so people can go out and shop for their. We're going to do this a week ahead of time so people can shop for their testing supplies because everybody's going to practice, do a practice round. And so the folks at Greer's are going to work with us and provide some gift certificates. And it's just going to be a lot of fun. And it'll be downtown Mobile, Tuesday of Senior Bowl, the first annual. And we're looking for some teams to compete. $150 entry fee. And you get the two Senior Bowl tickets and two VIP experience tickets. So
nice.
it's going to be a cool event.
Wow.
The Panini folks.
Mike wants that belt.
Yeah.
He has always wanted a belt like that, so I told him I'll cook it if he buys it.
Well, there you go. The Panini folks, Panini marketing folks, going to be there. They're going to be doing you can get you a sports card with your name on picture on it and all that type of stuff. So
that's cool.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. So yeah, and it's the first annual, so we're trying to work through it. We got some good sponsors and. And of course, Pete and the gang is going to do his part of it. The Senior Bowl folks are all on board. They're doing their part of it. We got some good folks. The folks in Rock and Roll Offs going to be there helping us with the things that we have to have for a contest. You know, with our portalettes and our trash containers and all that kind of stuff.
Love
they do a great
folks.
Job. Rocky does a great job.
She does indeed.
And all that type of stuff. So it's just going to be a fun time, and Alabama Coasting is proud to play a little small role in that. So we got a few things going on.
Cool.
So anyway,
kicking off the new year with a bang.
Yeah.
Well, I will also tell you that the other thing we got going on with Pete is Pete's our home base for the Mobile Bay Parrothead, and so Parrothead Club. So we're having our January meeting on Wednesday night over at Waterfront. It's a general membership meeting at 6 o'clock. We do a little bit of a social at 6 o'clock, and then we've got a little business to take care of, so at 6:30. So it's open to the public. You don't have to be a member to come. We hope you look at joining and helping us foster this parrothead ideology that we seem to like. we're going to be involved in the Son of the Sailor Festival. Excuse me.
That time of year, buddy. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I know that. So we've got some stuff to do there. I will tell you that we're now organized and we're starting to collect dues, and dues are all of $25 a year.
Oh,
so,
Lord.
It's an extravagant price to pay to play, but we're expecting a lot of fun things out of the club. So everybody's welcome to come over. It's at the waterfront's such a great place, and they, you know, that's one of Pete's places, and they do a great job hosting us, and they got some nice food over there. It's happy hour when we're over there, so that's all good, and we got a few things working. January's going to be a busy month, and then we get into Mardi Gras.
Well, Danny, let me throw a little idea at you, buddy, with your parrot head thing.
Yes, sir.
I used to be involved with the Mobile Scottish Society for a number of years, and they do one new recruit drive a year where it was a Scotch tasting. So you came in, you paid the annual dues, you did the Scotch tasting. If you like it, you kept coming. But if not, you still got to try about 40 different Scotches for $15.
There you go.
Maybe you do a rum tasting for your parrot head and use that as a member drive.
All right. I like the sound of that. Like the sound of that.
Those who survive Gideon.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
Glad I got in early. I don't like rum.
Oh, I love rum. Oh my gosh, rum is good.
We'll make sure all these events get on the Facebook page and also on your podcast here at 106.5.
Right, I'll do that. And so Mobile Bay Parrothead has its own page, but Annie Pete has its. They're putting their stuff out there. Senior Bowl will have some stuff on this, and of course Alabama Coasting will have information on all these things as well. So we're excited to be a part of it. Appreciate you guys giving me a chance to do a shout out.
Absolutely, man. This is what we're here for.
All right, guys.
All right, Happy New Year, buddy.
Happy New Year.
I'll see you Wednesday night.
Sounds good, man. Take care.
All right, Danny. Thank you, buddy. Danny Calamity.
Yeah. Always good to know what's going on in the area.
Mm-hmm. It's time of year. It's just starting.
I'm a month away.
I think I've only missed one parrot head meeting, and they're just a fun group of people. And there's a lot of fun and important stuff, big things on the horizon about to happen too in Mobile.
What kind of music y'all listen to?
Let me guess.
You know, you can guess. I don't know. We have Mitch there and some musicians sometimes, and they'll play their tropical music and steel drum music, and it's always fun. And we eat. Yeah. That's the important thing, is to eat and socialize and get to know one another. And I think Danny's vice president is graduated his father, so it's a father, a parent and child thing too involved, and anybody can get in it.
You know, it's what about, they call it, parent and child things? Family.
There you go.
Yeah.
And it's just a lot of fun, and it doesn't hurt having it at one of Pete's locations. See,
no, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Waterfront's a great location too.
Well, we're gonna have our Friday night meet and greet for our 50th. Class reunion for Davison High School there on June 5th, and we're down at the end where we can watch the sunset, mm-hmm. and that's gonna be fun. I can't wait.
Yeah,
can't wait. Yep. So,
well, you're gonna have to, Mike.
I know, but it'll be here before you know it.
Yeah,
got a visitor on the line too. We're gonna take after the break. Jarhead.
He
wants to talk the B-E-E-R word.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do that in about 30, 40 seconds. But
what did he spell out, Mike? You know him from Sims.
I was trying to help.
Burr. Y'all got bears? Y'all got bears up there in Sims? Bears up in Sims?
No, we sent them to Sarah Lynn.
folks, really, seriously, if you're thinking about you'd like to be a member of the Parrothead group, come Wednesday night.
Yeah.
We're not going to judge you. Too much.
Unless there's a contest.
If you drink non-alcoholic beer, you might.
251-243-343.
What is wrong with you?
Welcome back.
How many of these did you have before you got here?
to get on the line. Call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
All right, we're back.
We got another caller.
Yeah, I want to hear this. Let's see what Jarhead has
to say. Jarhead wants to talk about beer. I did not put that together. A Marine and beer. I would have never thought the two would have went together.
Never would have put together. How are you, Jarhead?
Hey, guys. Well, if I'd have known y'all were going to be drinking at the studio this morning, I'd have come down and joined you.
It is zero alcohol. We're trying the non-alcoholic beers.
Well, I mean, I drink Miller Lite, and everybody says, well, that's not real beer. So that's like non-alcoholic beer, right?
Yeah, Jarhead would say, I can fix that Guinness just fine. Man, you here, put this shot of Jameson in it.
There you go.
Fixed.
So anyway, what you got on your mind?
I love to eat, and I'm considered a pretty good cook from the people that have eaten my food. But now y'all are talking my language when you're talking beer.
There you go.
Well, you know, beer is just liquid bread.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody says you need to hydrate. Well, drinking beer, that's hydrating, right? It's got water in it.
Yeah, actually, beer and rum do have good properties for that. That's why they were very common on the sailing ships that were out at sea for weeks and months at a time, because water would go bad after about 3 weeks in those barrels. But rum and beer kept, and mm-hmm. you actually could hydrate with them to a certain degree.
And medicinally, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I try to hydrate damn near every day when I get off work.
When I lived downtown, I did it whether I wanted to or not. It just happened.
Oh, no, you wanted to. But, yeah, you got a favorite style? I know you said Miller Lite, but do you have a style of beer that you're into, Jarhead?
Mainly Pilsner beers.
Nothing wrong Budweiser. With a good Pilsner.
Let me tell you what.
Budweiser gives me a headache.
Let me tell you what.
That's the excessive carbonation, more than likely.
Do you ever go to the Pig on University Boulevard?
Piggly Wiggly.
No, but I go to the Pig in Sarah Lynn.
All right.
Go to that hot bar.
My nephew has just brought his beer into, he's out of Charleston, and he just brought his, he has a brewery called Munkle. Now, he had an uncle that went off to become a monk, and then he came back, got out of it, and came back, and they started a brewery. And when he went to become a monk, they used to make fun of him. They called him Munkle.
Mm-hmm.
He's not our uncle. He's our Munkle.
Yeah.
So he came back and they started a brewery called it Munkle. So now his beers are in Alabama. And I just the other night I had a Pilsner at the living room that's at the LeMoyne's Chop House at the Admiral downtown. And let me tell you what, that Pilsner was really good. And I enjoyed it. And I think I might change over Pilsners for a while and see how I like them.
Pilsners and lagers are both good.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big lager.
I'm just not an IPA fan. How about you, Jarhead?
Yeah, not really. I'm not really that into homemade beers. A friend of mine used to make them, and I was like, in a pinch, if right. I'm broke.
Yeah. Well, I'm a big import, and I'm a craft beer because I like the stouts, of course, mm-hmm. and I like lagers. So Red Stripe's one of my favorite lager beers.
Yeah,
and from Jamaica, man.
Yeah, and I like red ales myself. I like brown and red ales. Mm-hmm. I'm both fans.
Me too.
Like which Newcastle's a brown ale?
Yeah, I just one thing I just can't stomach is that Miller High Life, that Miller Lite. But I do love Miller High Life. I do drink a lot of Miller High Life.
Jarhead, I'll tell you a quick little story. I moved up to Nashville in the early 90s. Started hanging around with a bunch of artistic guys. You know, one guy was from Switzerland, and a couple of artists, musicians. So we were experimenting and trying really good beer. And there was a place across the street from where we work called Strange Brew that was a convenience store that sold over 250 different types of beer. So we're always trying it. And completely lost where I was going. Oh, no, I came home to visit, and my brother and I went out, and the best beer they had was Miller Lite. And so I got a Miller Lite and grabbed a salt shaker and put some salt in it to give it flavor. So
I tell you what, there's nothing better than to ice down a bunch of cold cans of beer and throw some salt on top of that ice, man.
Give them a high,
Not only does it make it cold.
Yeah.
It does give it a little salty taste on the top. But I do have a little thing that I heard the other day. You know, Steve was talking about the new Chick-fil-A and the where the candy store than it used to be.
Yep.
I heard that they're coming out with some wings now, but they're not soft. They're going to be naked.
Lord, Lord.
Well, you know.
How many Miller Lights have you had this morning?
You know, it's actually two words. There's naked and naked. Like naked means no clothes on. Naked means no clothes on and up to something.
Wow. Okay. See how quick that went.
Hey, Jarhead.
Right, well, next week, Saturday is my birthday, so when I call in Sunday, I might still be having some cold Miller Lights. So,
we'll see. Well,
happy birthday, man.
Yeah, you well, have happy a good birthday, buddy.
Happy birthday.
All right. Well, hey, we're getting close to Mardi Gras, guys, so provolone.
Provolone.
Yes, sir. Provolone, buddy.
And Mike, we lost a couple of dignitaries in the world, culturally, yesterday. One of them is Bob Weir of the Grateful Dead. He's the only member of the Grateful Dead I was a fan of. Wasn't a fan of his until I saw him perform at the Sanger Theater a few years ago. Was blown away by the show.
Oh, that's right, he did, yeah.
It was an incredible show. And the other one is Eric Von Doniken, who is an author who was famous in the 60s for writing a book called Chariot of the Gods, which began the entire ancient alien thought process.
Yeah.
But he passed away yesterday, too.
Wow.
We should have a Guinness Zero non-alcoholic beer in their honor. Pour one out for them. But, I have never been a big Grateful Dead fan. Still am not a big Grateful Dead fan. But Bob Weir's show, he walked out on stage by himself with an acoustic guitar, said two things in half an hour, and just blew the place away. Having performed before, knowing the energy, what it takes to walk out on a stage by yourself with nothing but your vocals and an acoustic guitar in front of a crowd for 30 solid minutes is impressive. And then he had his band come out and join him.
I enjoy that part, though. I like him unplugged.
Yeah, was all. And the only thing he said in that 30-minute set was right before, I think it was Ripple that he played. He goes, I think you might recognize this one. That's the only thing he said the first 30 minutes. He just came out and started playing. It was a phenomenal show, and it turned me into a Bob Weir fan.
There was a long-standing tradition with musicians as I grew up that said very simply, speak through your form. Mm-hmm. And that was how they would do it. You know, whether you were a painter, whether you were a sketch, or if you played piano, whatever instrument, you know, hi, I'm so-and-so, and into it. That was it. They'd let you judge them on what they can do, essentially.
Yeah.
I read an article of Victor Wooten, who's considered the last 10 or 15, 20 years to be the greatest bass player ever. From Nashville, part of the fabulous Wooten brothers that were big in the 70s, plays with Bella Fleck and the Flecktones now. But every Wednesday, the Wooten brothers would get together at a place called Third and Lindsay, and I used to go to this gig every Wednesday night, devoted. And they would jam, and they'd have different people sit in. And Victor was talking about sitting in with his brothers. He said, but Future Man, their other brother, couldn't play drums. J.D. Blair joined them, who's the drummer for Shania Twain. Great drummer. Said, Reggie's doing his guitar solo. He pulls out everything. Roy does his sax solo. Pulls out everything. Joe does his keyboard solo. Pulls out everything he's got. Victor goes, so it gets to me, the youngest. I got to pull out everything I got, right? He said, JD's drum solo was just him sitting there bobbing his head, never played the drum.
Great. And with that, folks,
Provolone. Sidestand there, you want to see, including a brand new Dolphin Island Beach.